I am really happy to be here. This church has been indirectly involved in my life for 10 years now, ever since my mom sent out a letter to several people, to several different congregations, saying, I need a place to stay when I have to commute. And from there, meeting Janet, and it's been 10 years now. This church has meant a lot to me because of how it's helped her. It means a lot to me of how it's helped both of my parents since they've been here. It's different to hear them always talking about the joys of church life, because for quite a few years now, there's been a lot of struggles in their church life. It's really good to hear the joy that's happening now. Also, went to school with Johnny Bond in Sunset. Have that connection. And sorry, I missed him. He's here. He has come and left since the last time I was here. And also, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but you helped support Katie and me in our work in the after-school program this last year, which was a huge help, and we are intending on doing that this next year as well, and excited about that, for even though they can be quite a challenge. We're really looking forward to another year with those kids before we head off next May. Today I want to talk about going in to all the world, but I want to talk about something in a little different way, because I think usually we just talk about the fact that we need to do it, and I'm going to guess that I think we all know that we need to do it. I want to talk about today one of the reasons why I think we're not doing it as well as we should, on a personal level, not on a church-wide level. I'm talking you and God, and I want to talk about that. I think in a lot of ways, our view of missions is skewed. We look at the activity going on in the church and we say, yes, the church should be supporting these works. Yes, the church should support missionaries. Yes, the church should be involved in the community. And then we sit back and really aren't applying that same instruction to our own lives. We've kind of separated ourselves with the church, and then there's my life. And I'm a part of the church at these separate times, but the church is always the church, and the church should always be doing these good things. I think if we have a healthy perspective on who God is, we're going to have a healthier perspective on what missions really are and how involved missions should be in each one of our lives. Do you know what this is? You can tell. This is my God box. I know it because it says God on the side. If it didn't say God, I'm not sure which box it would be. This is my God box. God resides in this box in my life too often. Now, I get him out. I mean, I get him out on the right days. I get him out on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for sure. Maybe a Bible study or two during the week. Always before I eat. Always. But then he goes back in the box, and I put him on the shelf with all my other little boxes. We've separated God from our everyday life, and we kind of put God in certain places and times only. We don't really think about him when he's in the box. You know, we bring him out at certain times, put him away, and then it's done. And we think about him only at those certain times. Maybe I'm just talking for me, but can anybody relate to this? I mean, is this anybody else? Of course, the truth is God does not live in a box. We live in his box. Why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. The problem with this box mentality is that it tricks us into thinking that God isn't concerned with the rest of our lives. We think, okay, God wants me to, you know, attend church services. God wants us to say our prayers before our meal. God wants a little box of our finances. He wants 10% of our money, not anything else. And so we convince ourselves he's not really concerned with these other areas of our lives. I guess since you're going to Acts 17, I should too. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and 25 and 26. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. There's a lot said there. First, God doesn't dwell in a box. Secondly, interesting, verse 27, we have been created at a certain place and a certain time, and it looks like from that verse for a very specific reason. To know that God is not very far from us, and if we already know that, what's the other reason why we would be here at this certain place, a certain time? To help other people know that. Through our speech, we often force God into places where he resides only in that place. Like I said, prayer times, Bible study, this is God time. Even our daily Bible reading, we sit down and say, all right, this is God time. Which, being careful, depending on how we use our words, we start training ourselves to think God resides only in that time. In fact, we've often put him in a very literal box here in God's house, right? We've actually built a box, and I don't know if we did it intentionally, but we've now told ourselves this is God's house. This is where God lives. You don't cuss in church. This is God's house. Like, outside of this building is any less of his house than it is in here. We must remember, we do not place God in a box. We are in his box. And I think it's our misunderstanding of who God is that is really keeping us from taking advantage of the mission we have as Christians. And I'm talking again on that personal level. I want to talk right now real shortly about the sovereignty of God. And when I say sovereignty, I mean supreme rank, highest authority, no one else above. He's the guy in charge. When we get wrapped up in our day-to-day life, I think we forget about who God is. He becomes little parts of our life instead of all of our life. I think we've forgotten or maybe never fully understood God's sovereignty, that he is in charge. He is the Almighty. He calls the shots. So I want to read through four scriptures with you and talk about those for just a minute. But let's start in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. God is worthy of this praise because he has, apparently, says here, some amazing power. He created all things, all by his own will. All right, let's flip over to Psalm 24. It's what the scripture reading was. Psalm 24. Psalm 24, just verse 1 and 2 this time. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Something very important written here. Everything we see and know to exist belongs to God. The earth belongs to him, and everything in the earth belongs to him. That has some pretty serious ramifications. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Next one, Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 through 35. This is written by Nebuchadnezzar, a man not really known for his devotion to God most of the time. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, because his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Nobody can look God in the face and say, "Excuse me, what was that about?" In fact, we have record in the Bible of one man who did. And you remember God's response was, "Excuse me? Where were you when I did all of this? Who are you to question me? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That includes everything you own. That includes everything you are." Last one, Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 11. "Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, 'My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose.' Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it." This verse saying, whatever God wants to do, it's going to happen. If it's his plan, there's nothing you can do to stop him. And if he's got it in mind that he wants to do it, it's going to happen. Let's illustrate this. This is $20. This is my $20. I earn this money. What can I do with it? Anyone? Spend it. Can I bury it? Can I throw it away? Can I give it to anyone I want? Why? Why can I give it to anyone I want? It's mine. So I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to give this to somebody. I am going to give this to somebody. Somebody I don't even know. What am I doing with my money? What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel? Here you go. $20. Congratulations. How does this illustrate the point? Ownership. It's mine. I can do with it what I want. Is it fair that I gave it to Daniel? She did raise her hand first. But it's my money. I can do with it what I want. And I'm going to do with it what I want. It's my money. But I didn't give it to Daniel so he could just have it. There are some stipulations. Since it is my money, I can tell him what I want done with my money. And I do want something done with my money. I gave the money to Daniel for this week to go and give that money to someone not related to this congregation at all who needs help. Just go help somebody with that. And I would like, if the elders are able to arrange this for next week, if he'll be here and everything works out, to just say who he helped, what the person's name was, and why they needed help. We're not looking for Bible studies here. If that happens, praise God. We're just trying to help people. And so I'd like you to use my money to help somebody. Get their name, their problem, and maybe a little bit about them. I won't be here, so you'll have to email me about it. Um, The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He will do with it what he wants. If he created time, his time is his to do what he wants. If we have free time, whose time is that? God's time. If we have resources, free resources, if we have extra money, an extra room, an encouraging word, whose is that? The one who owns it, the creator of that thing. The people involved are his. So how does all this relate to missions? How does understanding who God truly is relate to our everyday life? How does understanding who God truly is relate to the outreach of the lost, to the people in the world? If we understand who God is, the ruler of everything, the creator of everything, that the world is his, not ours, we're going to make sure his will is our will. If it's his to do with it what he wants, then we want to do what he wants to do with it. We should make our will his will. In 1 Timothy 2, we learn that God wants all men to be saved. So if God wants all men to be saved, what should we want? Exactly. If God's heart is broken over sin, how should our heart be broken? We should I almost used a Russian word. That's very funny. We should also be brokenhearted over sin. If God loves the unlovable, what should we do? Love the unlovable. If God was willing to send his son all the way down to earth to save us, what should we be filling our time with while we are on this earth? But what's interesting about this is that that doesn't mean we're going to do that. Just understanding God wants us to use our time wisely doesn't mean we're going to use our time wisely. Just because I told Daniel that money's not for him but for someone who needs it doesn't mean that he is going to go do that necessarily. But that doesn't change the mission. That doesn't change the purpose of what that's for. Now, we've gotten into a bad habit of taking 10% of things we own and saying, that 10% is for God. No, it doesn't change the fact that everything we own is from his, from him, belongs to him, and it's got a mission attached to it. He has a desire he wants you to fulfill with having those things. This is all going to touch us in different ways. Fulfilling the Great Commission is going to look different for each and every one of us. I want to tell you a little bit about my journey on it. 7 years ago, I flew to a country I'd never been before, didn't speak the language, and hardly knew the man that was going to be my coordinator, the one over me. I went to Ukraine, responding in my own way to go into all the world, didn't know what that meant exactly or how it was going to play out. Within a month, I met a little boy, a 10-year-old boy, named Sasha. It's a boy's name there. And didn't know, couldn't even imagine where that was going to go. Within a month, he was hanging out at our house because we were the cool Americans in town. Came over for candy and to see the computers and all that. After a while, he started coming to all the kids' classes that we had. Eventually, when I was doing one-on-one Bible studies with other people, he said, "Hey, would it be okay if I just sat in with you?" Sure. Because of his age, I never, ever wanted to push him into becoming a Christian because I, being raised in the church myself, know of too many Bible camp Christians that do it just because everybody else is doing it or doing it because it was suggested at just the right time and it wasn't really a thing in the heart. So that was something I was really sad about leaving with. Several months before we left, 12-year-old Sasha came up to me and said, "Hey, I want to get baptized. Will you do it?" I said, "That's great. We should probably talk to your parents," because they weren't Christian and still a little leery of what we, of what their son was always doing with these Christians. And he said, "I already did." He was serious about it. That was great. Couldn't have been happier. But I left Ukraine. And because he was so young, I thought he might be one of those who falls away after all this positive influence leaves. And he had a little bit of a rough time, especially after all of the Americans left, after even my coordinator and his family left the field. A little bit, but he stayed connected to the church, and Katie and I were able to go back 2 years later So he was 14, and he was doing well. And we took a walk around together. We spent a lot of time together while we were visiting, and I was just so impressed that he was involved with things. The church had started as in an effort to help the church learn to sing better. They started a Saturday choir time where they had a real choir teacher come and teach them how to sing, and he got super involved with that. Soon he was leading songs when the church was assembled. Thought that was great. We left to finish our final year in Sunset. Got a call from a church that said, "We'd like to send you back over there. Will you go?" I said, "Sure, we'll think about it." They said, "We have all the money. Will you go?" I said, "Sure." We went over there for 1 year. And I got to do what I was always wanting to do with him, is be an influence at such an important age in his life. As he was nearing the end of school, we were there, so impressed with the way he was leading, with how his spiritual growth, his maturity was going along. And then last year, Katie and I had to leave again. And I wasn't really worried about him this time, but just didn't know what God was going to do with him. Within a month or two, he wrote me a letter saying the church did a VBS. It was totally their idea, totally Ukrainian-led. And he said, "I've been teaching and I've gotten involved with these kids, and I'm now starting to see," these were almost his words exactly, "that people are looking up to me and that I need to be a leader and I need to have control over my spiritual life." Well, that just made me want to cry reading it. And we come back this next year. We just got back a week ago today from Ukraine for a visit. And he's doing even better. He is now discipling other young Christians. He brought his girlfriend to Christ. I'm so excited about that. And this is to no credit of my own, but me taking whatever amount of faith it was to say, "Sure, I'll try this out." Look what God was able to do with that. Stories like that make me want to go on. Sometimes I'm not sure if I really want to do this missionary thing for a very long time because working with people is difficult. But people like Sasha make me want to keep doing it forever because it is making a difference. God's word makes a difference in people's lives. He just turned 18 3 days ago, and I couldn't be more proud of him. So why, just for a minute, I want to talk about what we are going to do. Why do we want to go to Ukraine? Well, that's a big reason. Not to work with him, but to work with more people like him. We've been invited to join a church planning team that is already over there in the city of Kharkiv, Ukraine. It is the third largest city in Ukraine with 1.5 million people. It's the university town of the nation. That's where everybody goes to study. I'd say it's a city of hope. Ukraine is has a very pessimistic view of the world. They're very fatalistic. It probably won't work. I'm probably not going to be able to get that job. And Kharkiv is one that looks up a little more. Everybody with dreams that are growing up in the small town, Kharkiv is one of the towns they go to. And we've actually been very impressed with just how friendly people are there in comparison to other towns that we've been to. Ukraine holds a special place in our heart. There are a whole list of names I could give you that would make me just want to tear up thinking about them. We sang songs this morning that I've really only sung in Russian. I knew them in English, but I've only really sung them in Russian. And we look forward to doing something we've never done before, church planning. It scares us to death a little bit, too. First time I went there, we went to work with a church that was already there. This time we're going and we're starting one. Where do you start? What do you do? It's intimidating, but it's something we want to do. It's something we're excited about doing. So right now, this next year, we are looking at as a year of preparation and a last year to continue in our present ministries. Our last year to work with the Adventures and Missions program, our last year to work with the after-school program. And during that time, we're going to be taking more missions classes at Sunset in Lubbock to help prepare for this next year. Also, from here until then, maybe even afterwards, we'll see, we're looking for support. We're looking for churches and people that are interested in partnering with us to do this. And I am intentional when I say partner with us. It's part of the way we can help fulfill the Great Commission. It's something we do as missionaries too. We try to support other missionaries. And so we're looking for people and churches who are interested in partnering with us in that work. So our mission field will be Ukraine. And I ask that you pray for that. I ask that you get excited about that with us as we are. We are planning on reaching out to younger families and to students, since that seems to be what this town, much of this town, is made up of. So that's our mission field. But who makes up your mission field? We all have different areas of influence. We all have different abilities. Some of us do jobs that others of us would never, ever, ever want to take if we had the opportunity. That means you're a special missionary in that area. That means that's your influence, because you're doing something not a lot of other people want to do. You know people that a lot of other Christians don't know. We are all missionaries, and we all have our areas of influence. Katie and I, our desire is to influence the people in Kharkov, Ukraine. Who are you desiring to influence? God is sovereign. He has put people in the exact places and the exact times that He wants them in. And maybe He wants them in that exact place and time because you happen to work in the cubicle next to that person. His desire is for His body to reach those people. And so let's do that. But let's not just do that from here. Let's not just do that with Monday night for the masters. Let's not just do that with the three missionaries that this church is supporting. Let's get down to me and God. What is it in your life that you need to re-examine and really understand God's sovereignty in this world? Because whether or not we acknowledge it doesn't change the fact that He is. If we can truly understand His sovereignty, we will be better ready to fulfill His will in our lives. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That includes your time and your efforts, any resources that He's given you. They are for His purposes. How is your understanding of God's sovereignty affecting your heart for the lost? What are you going to do about it? In a minute, I'm going to say a prayer first, but in a minute we're going to have a song of invitation. I ask that somebody take charge of making sure Daniel gets up here next week to say who he helped and what he did. Let's have a prayer. God, thank you so much for who you are and what you do in our lives. Thank you for how big you are, for how powerful you are, yet you still define what love is. Want to be more like you and want to be more aware of the things you want us to do. Help us to give everything we are and everything we own up to you. Let us act like we know who owns it. We love you. We love you for your forgiveness, for new days to try and be better and to do better. And it's through your Son's name we pray. Amen. So if you have a need right now, if there's something you would like to come forward and share, or something you'd like to come forward and ask, the elders will be up here while we have this song. So let's stand and sing together.